This is a podcast from Minute Media.
I can't hear you. Can anyone hear Steve? I can't hear Steve.
You know why?
You muted yourself?
Yeah, well, I went to unmute myself and the open had
mutes
finished.
You. Yes.
So instead of unmuting myself, I actually remuted myself, which I mean, doesn't make much of a difference. I mean, I'm going to give you the same sort of analysis that I would with a muted mic as I would with no muted mic. So welcome into the PewterCast post game.
Guess who's driving in their car?
Yeah.
No, seriously.
Oh, I already know who's driving in his car.
Who?
Corey in Nashville, of course.
Yep, he's in his car. Like,
of course I know Corey is driving in his car. That never changes.
Guy's gotta be moving. We'll get you in a minute, Corey.
I'm sure he's got a basketball game tonight.
He's feeding the homeless or something.
Yeah, he's doing something because Corey is never not moving.
This was my astronomy club night. We get together once a Sunday or once
right.
a month every you, Sunday.
You've heard of Eminem. Well, I think that you look at Corey. Corey is NNM, never not moving. He's always doing something. And he will join us here on the PewterCast in just a second. The PewterCast presented by BetUS.com, part of the Fansided Network. It is post-game. The Buccaneers have 9 wins on the season, and they are guaranteed a winning year for the second consecutive season. And now Brady 2-for-2 with winning seasons here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm Steve Carney. It's Ren Dax. Ren, how are you? Happy Sunday. I'm sure that you... were as pleased as I was for most of the game, but I want to get your initial thoughts on what you thought on a 30-17 win in Atlanta.
Well, this kind of went the way we expected it, at least most of the time. I mean, of course, there's always some frustrating plays with the defense, but at the end of the day, the defense only gave up 10 points, you know, and almost had a pick six, you know, there at the end, but you know, you can't not do almost, but... You know, there's a little bit of stuff going on as far as, like, Bucks Twitter, and, you know, it's like, oh, my God, like, you know, they can't, like, they're not very good at 3-and-outs or 6-and-outs, but they are getting a lot of turnovers. Now, that's good, obviously, but you can't sort of have that be your, I don't know, sort of
it's
like...
It's not your calling card. It can't be your calling card.
It cannot be your calling card because eventually it's going to come to an end. And if you have a game where you don't get turnovers, then they're going to put points up and you're going to lose. So,
truth.
You know, we all got fooled like 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, when the Bucks went like 5-0 near like in the second half of the season, and Mike Smith's defense was finally working and it's clicking, and they won all those games off late turnovers. You know. And then so they backed the dump truck up and dumped a bunch of money in Mike Smith's yard, and it came back next year, and it was the race to 40 was on. Like don't even punt, like onside kick. Like, do you have 40 points yet? Then keep trying to score. Like, that was it. Like, no, nothing, because it didn't matter where the other team got the ball. They were going to score anyway. So sometimes during this game, it felt like that. It sort of felt like that on the road, and that's sort of been kind of the way it has. And even this year at home, it's felt like that. But there were these times again where you'd be like, God, the defense can't stop anybody. And you look up and they only give up 17 points, you know? That happened for like 2-3 weeks in a row. And yeah. against these lesser football teams, even though they're giving up yards, and I know there's some people that, like, I don't give a shit about yards. I don't care about yards. It's points, and that's absolutely true. But for me, and this was something even way back in the 2000, Gruden, but mostly the Tony Dungy Buccaneer defenses, they never got off the field in third, like three and out. Mm-hmm. Like, the team would flip the field on them every single time. Now, at the end of the game, they'd only give up 10, 17 points, and they do that week after week after week after week. There were no letdowns. But it's much better, obviously, for three and outs because they don't get to flip the field, but then your offense gets more chances. So when you're only getting, like, the ball twice a quarter because you're going on long drives because your offense is so good, but your defense can't stop anybody, so they're going on long drives, and it's back and forth and back and forth, and now all of a sudden it's like, you know, halftime, and there's been five total possessions, and the score's, you know, kind of like it was. But, again, the second half defense clamped down, either being by turnovers or Falcons' mistakes, but that's how it happens. Like, I saw somebody, I think it was, I was somewhere, and we were talking about how the Bucs scored 40, but all the turnovers. Like, they're cashing in on turnovers. Well, yeah. Like, you don't...
That's what good teams do.
You can't score 40 points without any turnovers, without any short fields. Like, it just, like, if you do, then it's, like, a couple of 80-yard plays. I mean, that's just the way it is. Like, you can't score six touchdowns in a game driving 85 yards at 11 plus plays a game. There's just not enough time in the game.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of what we expected. I'm happy. You know, I'm glad we didn't lose the game. There were some spots there where, you know, you're a little frustrated with the defense. Obviously, you know, we're going to talk a lot about that play call on the goal line at halftime. You know, I would have knelt on it. I think Allman made the point, well, a lot of Bucs fans would be mad if they knelt on it because, you know, it's only a 10-point lead. And I'm like, well, but you're inside your own 10-yard line. Like, what do you, you know, there's dum-dums everywhere. So I didn't like it. It was a fluke play. I'm not mad they didn't do it. I'm not mad that they were aggressive about it. You know, I'm not mad. It was just unfortunate. That's all. It was just really unfortunate. So Godwin, and this is something I tweeted about, and I will say, it's like, hey, look, you can get Fournette's touches and throw the ball to Mike and throw the ball to Chris Godwin and throw the ball to Gronk. Like, it doesn't have to be just those two. So it was nice to see all four of those guys in the offensive game plan. You know, Mike had five or six catches. Chris Godwin had 15, I think, for
yep,
like 100.
The new franchise record.
Is it?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, the right. Franchise record was 13. That was held by, of course, number 13.
Duh. So it went for 100, you know, Gronk's back, like three catches, two touchdowns, you know, like crazy, you know, Mike Evans type numbers. He's been doing a lot this year, you know, and Mike looked good. But on the negative side, it looked like, you know, Brady and Mike are still off more than they should be, you know, sort of like with Mike not being where he thinks or whoever's supposed to be there and not there. And the run defense, even though how annoying Jonathan Vilma was, he did make a good point near the end of the game. This is three games in a row. The run defense hasn't looked like what we've expected the past 2.5 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's reasons for that, but still, if a team comes in here that wants to run the ball and control the clock, I think there's a path for winning that way, when previously before these three games, there was absolutely no path to do that.
Absolutely. And I said at the beginning of the game, after, you know, we saw the first drive where Brady threw 13 consecutive plays in a row, and they go down and they score a touchdown, and you're like, that's absolute precision. It's exactly what we want to see. You and I have talked about it a lot here, that if Brady gets off to a hot start,
it's like over.
That, you know, other teams are in big trouble. But then you don't expect the Falcons to go down the other way. Right. And I mean, Patterson was cutting off huge chunks of yards. Mike Davis had huge chunks of yards coming left and right, including the touchdown. And the first thing that came to my mind, I was like, this is Mike Smith race to 50. I'm like, I even said it. I'm like, this is Rocky Balboa versus Clubber Lang. There is no defense to be seen right now. And it's just two guys standing there in the middle of the ring, swinging as hard as they can at each other's heads to see who's going to fall first. And
Big 12 football.
12 football. Really, it's what it felt like. And then finally, you started to see the defense get into it a little bit. That I'm sure that we're going to have everybody talking about that play at the end of the first half. I'm exactly with you. I was like, okay, you're up 10. Yes, they're going to get the ball on the other side, and yes, they have timeouts, but make them use those timeouts. You run the ball or you kneel on the well. First, I would kneel on the ball and see if they use their timeouts, because I still think that I think they had either one or two timeouts left at the end of the first half, and it was like,
okay, I'm not understanding. Why would you kneel on the ball? Are you saying the Bucks have the ball?
Bucks have the ball. You're up 10 right at the 10-yard line, and we're talking about kneeling as opposed to the pick six.
Right.
And maybe part of the reason that Brady is doing it is because Atlanta still has timeouts. And they're thinking, if we can get the ball back, maybe we can get three if we get like a...
Because they got them pinned deep. And
they got them pinned deep, and you've got an opportunity in a short
Okay,
field.
I got it. There's only like 20 seconds left.
Yeah, that's very true, but still.
But true, that, you know, a smart coach would at least give it a try to see where you're at before you do the math. Because it would have been like, you kneel down, timeout, kneel down, timeout. Now they're out of timeouts. It's third down and like 11, but then
still. And you're on the 8.
And you're on the 8, and there's like 25 seconds left.
Yeah.
And they could have knelt down and ran out the clock. So we cracked the case.
Anyway, either way you look at it, you know. I think make them use the timeouts. It's not like they can take them into the second half.
Right.
So, but
yeah.
But yeah. So let's get cracking in with some of these guys. I know Corey's there because we talked about it. Corey in Nashville, who is bumping around in his car, probably going to play basketball.
Yeah. Or he's gonna feed like the fishes or something. Going down to the pond to say hi to my koi fish.
Yeah. Or he's. Or he's walking his dog.
Walking around house to house. I don't know. Let's see what he's doing. And then we got Kyle up next. All right, Corey. Where are you? Wait, you going to the mall? You at the mall picking up Christmas presents?
He's in the car. He's
Toys for Tots.
He's in the car. I was going to say he's got the tank top on. Yeah, he's playing. Mess around, get a triple double, like Ice Cube said.
I'm going to be quick. Because I'm a little hungover, and I'm jacked up. But I was. Let me see. I forgot. You made up a point that I wanted to talk about. Oh, Todd Bowles adjustments. For Atlanta to go down the field and get that opening drive TD, which was their first opening drive TD of the year, by the way. We adjusted extremely well the rest of that game. I know they had drives, and quite frankly, maybe we aren't that team that's just going to be stifling and get you out three and out, three and out, three and out. And I guess God is just not going to give you everything, because I've said this from week one, you have to score 30 plus points to beat us, or we have to play bad like we did. We played bad against the Washington football team. But we're a tough task. We kind of take teams out of their game plan because our offense is at times our best defense. When we come out the gates like we did today, that's a lot of pressure on another team. Like, that's a lot of pressure. And
that's the argument that VBA keeps saying. Not that he's talking to me, but I'm like, just defer and get the ball in the second half.
And that's funny.
And he wants to open up and run down and put 7 points up and put pressure on the team. And I get it. But
to be fair to BA, because I pay attention to it now, because we've talked about it.
It's my thing.
To be fair, the last two games at least were out of his control. The team,
correct? That's correct. Yeah.
So,
I'm not unreasonable
in that regard. But I'm very pleased. I was pleased with Carlton Davis. I mean, his best play of the game was the dive knockdown. Like, he just he just really shows why he's our best corner.
He's really good.
He's really good at he's really good at running routes with receivers.
Yeah.
He's not even the fastest corner.
Not even close.
He's just really good at what he does. I could imagine if he really was, he'll be the best corner in the league if he was like a 4-3 guy.
Yeah. By the way, Vilma can shut the hell up when he's talking about Carlton Davis.
I'm gonna leave Vilma alone, because let's just say he was talking about that one play, because Carlton Davis has one of the finest interceptions you will ever see against the Falcons in Atlanta a couple years ago in Atlanta. One of the finest interceptions you will ever see.
Are you trying to defend Carlton Davis over his stone hands?
Yeah, exactly.
Corey has stone hands. He's dropped more passes than I don't even have a joke for.
That's why he plays defense, right?
He has DB hands.
No.
He has DB hands.
They're worse than DB hands. They're not even offensive tackle fat guy. They're not even defensive tackle score touchdown Warren Sapp hands. They're literally he's wearing two blocks on his hands. Like his hands are cast in cement.
He's got GPP club hands.
He's double. Which one of the Griffins is missing his hand? Shaquille or Shaquem? He's double Shaquem.
We got the double Shaquem.
No, we're not going there. You can go with that. You go with the JPP.
You're gonna get us canceled.
You're gonna get canceled.
You're gonna get the cancel culture coming for you.
Sure,
man. And the UCF people.
Let me just say, I'm gonna say this and I'll go to be able to go in December football, division rival on the road, going and holding them to 10 points. Really, we really slow walked to that double digit win today. Like yeah. Nothing really impressed me outside of Gronk and Brady. Oh, I'm tripping. Chris Godwin. Oh my God. He's amazing. I just don't know. I don't know. We can't afford to let him hit free agency because somebody's just going to pay. They're going to overpay for him just because he will be a free agent. So we're going to have to figure that out because we can't lose that guy. We can't. He does too much. Brady's too comfortable. I'm excited going forward, man. December football is looking really good. I really want to see what Brady's going to do for his background music on his victory video because Atlanta has a lot to choose from. Atlanta has a lot. I was trying to figure out what he was going to do for Indy last week. I still don't know who that guy was. But I guess it's an Indianapolis rapper. I don't know.
Maybe get the Yin Yang Twins in there.
Yeah, I was thinking. You know what? I'm going to go. I want Lil Baby. I want Lil Baby. That's who I want. I'm going to let you guys go, man, because I'm hungover, and I have to go get a large french fry from McDonald's.
Attaboy!
Because I'm about to throw up. So, all right, love you guys.
All right. If you lived here, you would go to El Cap. Just letting you know.
El Cap.
Yeah.
El Cap restaurant. Best burgers in town.
Big, greasy burger. Tiny, tiny plate. Once you pick it up, you cannot put it down because it'll fall apart because it's like 4 inches high.
That's what I need.
And they give it to you on a coffee mug, like a saucer. So it's But
all right. On to next week, guys. On to who we got? Carolina?
No,
I don't know.
Buffalo. Oh, Buffalo.
Buffalo next week.
Oh, I can get excited for a week finally. All right.
Yeah, that's gonna be a fun game. We're gonna beat them though. Two touchdowns. I'm calling it right now.
Ooh, oh wow.
Two
Yep, two tutties.
See you, Corey.
I agree.
Yeah. Drunk Corey got all. Said two touchdowns against Buffalo. It's not even Monday yet. Yeah. They haven't even played this week, and he's two touchdowns against Buffalo.
We don't know who's going to be in the secondary for the Bucs on Sunday right now.
I know, man. Like, Golson went down and SMB both went down, like, the last five plays of the game, and it's like, come on, man.
I mean, you lost Carlton Davis for a period. You lost Jamel Dean again.
Oh, Dean. Dean's like... He's not Mr. Glass because he didn't break anything, but he's like Mr. Anti-Plane Threshold,
Low Threshold.
What is it with your hypochondriac when you're always hurt?
Yeah.
Like, but he's like, I don't know.
He's always in the training room.
Yeah. It's like, the sun's so bright, my corneas go to the training room. But apparently he's got a concussion, so I don't want to make too much fun of it. But, there are beginning to be whispers I've heard from people that are on the ground at the facility. Whispers that he's kind of a baby. His pain threshold isn't where it should be for an NFL player.
Yeah. Well, I look at it this way. If they don't have Jamel Dean next week because he's in concussion protocol, this is the week that next week is the week that they can activate Richard Sherman IR. So that's one thing that is fortunate, is that they can at least say, okay, if we don't have SMB or we don't have Jamel Dean, we can still activate Richard Sherman and still have, another corner that has experience. I mean, as good as Pierre Desir has looked, and as good as Dee Delaney has looked,
which is not very.
Well, yeah.
Well, they've made a couple of plays, but yeah. I mean, they're not starting for anybody next year.
No. But I mean, Delaney and Desir have been serviceable.
Got you. As good as they've looked for where they came from and who they are.
The expectations.
There you go. Okay, gotcha.
I would much rather have Richard Sherman on the field than either of those guys. For 60 plays.
Yeah, because if Sherman just hits, you know, expectations, that's about a tier and a half higher than those guys are at.
Because you're looking at a fourth and a fifth string cornerback for the most part.
Yeah, you're looking at tier four corners against a tier two corner.
Five, six, seven. I mean, you're looking at, because you think about it, you've got Davis, Dean, Murphy, Bunning, Cockrell, Sherman, all these guys that you would rather have in there. Well, maybe not Cockrell, but other than Desir and Dee Delaney. So that's gonna be the big question that we're gonna have to answer all week long. Is, you know, what is the secondary gonna look like? Because you've got guys like Emmanuel Sanders and Stephon Diggs for Buffalo.
Yeah, talking about somebody, the team that likes to throw the ball. I even tweeted that out when we went on that, you know, 47 pass in a row first drive. I'm like, we're looking like the Buffalo Bills out here. Like the there was a game, what was the playoff game last year? They threw the ball 27 times in a row.
Yep.
Or like the Indianapolis threw like 18 times in a row against us last week. So, and that's nothing for Buffalo. Like they throw the ball a lot. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be something to definitely look at next year. We got Kyle waiting. Kyle, who was frantically driving home last week as fast as he could to be able to get on and give us a live stream.
Missed out.
He must just have a flip phone or not a smartphone, because you can, or maybe he's just being a good citizen and didn't want to drive while, like Corey does. Corey didn't care. Corey's all driving around town through school zones with his phone on. Yeah. But anyway, so Kyle's here.
Howdy. Actually, I was helping my father-in-law in the barn. I was working. That's why I couldn't get on.
Oh, that's where you couldn't tell him to hang on for a minute?
You know.
Look, father-in-law, pappy. Look, pappy-in-law. Like, I got to go talk to these guys for 5 minutes, you slave driver.
Watch the cows for me, pappy.
Anyway, what's up, man?
I don't want to complain too much because we won.
Right.
But to what you're saying about the players going down in the last five plays, man, like, at what point when we're up, when we have 30 points and there's no way they're going to catch us, at what point do we put in what little backups we have left?
I haven't come up with a proper formula for that I'm comfortable with. Like, when, you know, when you see players go down, you're like, oh my God, I think last week, Vita Vea, was it last week? Yeah, Vita Vea went down like in the last, one of the last couple plays of the game. Might have been 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, I really haven't had, as Bucks fans, you don't really pay attention to that because we're not winning at a lot of end of these games. So you don't really know, like, when they should start letting just backups play. Like in basketball, it's the last 5 minutes, we're up by 30. Okay, like, clear the benches. You know, I don't know when that is, and sort of like the mindset and the culture, because maybe the defense didn't want to give up any more than 10 points. You know, I don't know. That would be a question if I was on the beat that, you know, I would, you know, phrase it very, you know, not like, hey, you stink, what are you doing? But like, hey, you know, Vita Vea, and you've had three starters go down in the last handful of plays the past 3 weeks. You know, luckily none have been injured long term, so I don't think Golston or SMB are beat up that bad. And they've got to come to play, you know, but you're winning pretty handily. So, you know, where is the line? Like, I need somebody to tell me that. But, like, I don't know if I should be mad at it or not.
Right. I mean, we won, so I'm not going to complain too much. But it's like, with how much we've been battling injuries on both sides of the ball all year, I just think that would be something they'd be a little more cautious about. Or maybe, you know, I'm not a coach, so I can't make that call. But
sure you can. I mean, you can make it. I mean, I make calls all the time. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Yeah, I'm with you. I just don't know how upset I should be. I don't know if it's just dumb luck and that's just the way it is and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because, like, what if, let's say, during this game, like, those two long runs, the first drive were, like, they're on their side of the 50. Two plays later, they're in the end zone just off two runs. And I think, you know, Nunez Roches was in both of them. So, no Vita Vea. So, yeah. You know, you're watching the replays going, well, Jesus, why are we? It's only the first drive. Why is Nacho like? Why are we playing? Blah blah blah, playing Vita Vea. But if Vita Vea like was in on the first one, and you know Patterson did his thing, and then you left him in on the second one, and he looked tired, and you know he was not moving as fast as he was in the last play because he just tried to run, you know, Patterson down from behind, and then Devin White comes and breaks his ankle again. Are you going to say, why wasn't Vita Vea on the bench? Because it's just such a...
Right.
It's just kind of like luck, and, you know, you can't play scared. But there's also... You can also play smart. So, I mean, you know, are you going to play Tom Brady, you know, halfway through the fourth quarter when you're up by 30?
Right.
No, but it's just hard. I don't know. I need a flow chart or like a graph. Like if you're up by this and there's this many points left and they have this many timeouts, this is when you pull your guys. Like right. And you can even break it down. This is when you pull your all pros, and this is when you pull your Hall of Famers, and this is when you pull your Pro Bowlers, and this is when you pull your glue guys, and this is when you leave out the trash, you know. Like no, like you know, who do I hate on the defense? Not really anybody. Antoine Winfield, like, ugh. I don't hate him, but he's just, people love him so much more than, he's so frustrating, because I want to be mad at him and let everyone know this guy needs to take better angles. I've been saying it since last year, but every time I'm like, see, he, like, picks the ball off, you know, or, right. Like, rips the ball out of someone's hands as they're going out of bounds and, like, saves the game, and it's like, damn it. It's like, one day, Winfield, I like him, I think he's going to be really good, I just think that... When we banged on Mike Edwards about not being be able to tackle, that's why he's not starting in front of Whitehead for the past few years. Like, Winfield, I think Edwards is a better tackler than Winfield is now. I just do. So, but anyway.
Isn't Edwards the one that just got suspended along with Antonio Brown?
He is. Yes. He is.
I'm more upset about losing Mike Edwards than anything else.
Yes, like, yes.
Because today, scoring 30 points on the road in a division rivalry, I didn't even really think about Brown being gone the entire game.
Right.
Yeah. And those suspensions tell you exactly who Antonio Brown got his card from. Got it from John Franklin III.
Yeah.
Because he's not walking into the defensive back room looking for a fake card. But Franklin's in that wide receiver room with him during during training camp. So there's your answer to that question. So you know, I look at Mike Edwards, yeah, I think the one thing that that was missing from today was the fact that there was no pick sixes from Mike Edwards in this game.
But, right. It's so, like we're already banged up. We're already fighting this injury bug so bad. This entire year, and then we lose somebody,
yeah,
due to something other than injury to make things worse on top of it.
Yeah, I mean, again, like you know, when we're sort of done with callers and stuff, I'm gonna address sort of this COVID situation. That's you know, like I try to stay out of it. You know, I didn't talk about the Aaron Rodgers thing, and then when you know our guys got suspended, everyone's like, "Well, Aaron Rodgers didn't get suspended. What the hell?" And then so I left that alone. And then people started piling on Stroud for reporting it. And I left that alone. And then those guys got suspended. And people piled on Stroud more instead of like going, oh, my bad. Like, okay, now, like, this is it. Like and Almond's been dragged into it. And Jenna's been dragged into it a little bit, too. People pounded all over Ira because he wrote an article about Antonio Brown and, you know, sort of like his antics and stuff. And, you know, I think I understand where they're coming from. But I just kind of want to kind of like... throw some facts out there about COVID and sort of how it works because I don't know where these people are getting their information, but you should not be upset that Aaron Rodgers didn't tell you he was vaccinated or not, and you should
not be upset if
Antonio Brown and Mike Edwards faked their cards. Like it does, like being right. Vaccinated, not vaccinated has like it's almost nil. It's almost negligible the amount of be able to pass it and be able to get it. Well, that's not exactly true. Be able to pass it on to someone else if you have it. Like, the percentages are negligible. So, and if you're vaccinated, then shut the fuck up. That's why you're vaccinated. Like, it doesn't matter who, if they're vaccinated or not. Like, if they're vaccinated or not, it has nothing to do with you, and it doesn't change the variable of you getting sick or catching it. It changes the variable of you getting sick, but it doesn't change the variable of you catching it from them.
Some people may call me selfish, but I wasn't upset about what happened. I was upset that they weren't on the field. It's purely a football sense.
Well, the Buccaneers failed them, is what happened. And the Packers failed Aaron Rodgers and the media. If you're upset about the media being in there because Aaron Rodgers wasn't vaccinated, it's not like he didn't have COVID. But I guess since we were in the same room 40 feet away and he wasn't wearing a mask, I was going to catch COVID because I'm a media person. I think that's just backlash because they're booted out of locker rooms and they've had to go through hell, especially last training camp, every single day with a swab up their nose and doing their thing. And now they got someone to yell and get mad at. Like, again, I'll talk about it later. I just don't understand the logic. I don't understand the logic about being mad at somebody who's vaccinated or not. Like, I don't get it. I don't. Yeah. They're allowed. It's not illegal, and it doesn't affect you in any way whatsoever. It doesn't. It doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or not. It does not. If you're not vaccinated, it affects you. If you're vaccinated, it does not matter the person next to you is vaccinated or not if they have COVID. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, it's actually. The tests show that if you're vaccinated let me make sure I get this right. If the person that gave you COVID, you're more likely to get it from someone who is vaccinated by minimal amount.
Yes.
So, like, if you're vaccinated, Kyle, and you catch COVID and I'm vaccinated, there's more of a chance of me getting it from you than if Carney's not vaccinated and has COVID.
Right.
So then what the fuck are you mad about? Not you personally, but everybody. Right. Like, what the fuck are you mad about? You're not mad because you don't know, because you didn't look it up. You don't know what you're talking about. You're just pissed off at Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers lied to you, kind of. He made up a word and you were too lazy to follow up on it. Like, hey, what does that mean? That's not right. Like, you didn't follow up on the story. And the Packers were too big, much of a pussies to make him put on a goddamn mask in the pressers, because that would have gave away that he's unvaccinated, which I guess go into HIPAA laws, maybe. So maybe Packers weren't that big of a sissies. Well, and I'll tell you what, and the NFL has made it almost nearly impossible for a player not to be vaccinated. You're not allowed to go out of the hotel on road trips. You have to get vaccinated. You have to get tested every single day you go in there. It's just like pre-vaccination. The people that are vaccinated get tested once every 2 weeks. So if I'm vaccinated and I play for the Buccaneers and they test me on a Monday and I catch COVID on a Tuesday, I walk around that place for, 13 days before I get tested again? But the person who's not vaccinated gets tested every day. And I'm more likely to catch it from the person who's vaccinated if they catch it, get it from them. Right. By minimal. So I know I was going to wait till later, and I'm not yelling at you, Corey. I've been waiting to say this for a while, and you just brought it up. Go ahead.
And because we didn't have a show on Friday, we couldn't get into this. The only thing that people should be mad about is the fact that Antonio Brown didn't lie to us. It's not that Antonio Brown lied to us. It's not Aaron Rodgers didn't get anything because he lied to us. He didn't lie to his team, and he didn't lie to his league, to the league.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas Antonio Brown and Mike Edwards gave the team fake vaccination cards. By the way, that's a felony.
Yeah,
that's a federal crime that they committed, and they admitted to it, and there's talk that they could be prosecuted for it. And Antonio Brown is supposed to be on zero tolerance. I seem to remember when they signed Antonio Brown last year, they said, one fuck up and you're gone. There's your fuck up. Get out.
Are you not an Antonio Brown fan? Do you think that's worth him getting out? Get booting him for, I guess.
Hey,
no, I'm serious. Because I don't.
All I'm saying is you said zero tolerance.
Correct.
If it's not zero tolerance, then say okay, zero tolerance is off. We're good with Antonio Brown. But they never said that. They've said zero tolerance this whole time. One fuck up and you're gone. Guess what? Now it's time to bite the fucking bullet.
But do you think it was more of, and this is going to be, but like, I don't know, more serious Antonio Brown type charges? Are you having a good time, Kyle? Glad you called in. Like Antonio Brown type more charges, like as in like beating up, throwing your bicycle at the shack where the security guard is at your apartment complex, or beating up the moving driver, the worst things that he's done. Do you think that's what they're talking about? Now, again, this is kind of a hard argument from my end because, as you pointed out, it's a felony. So, I mean, it is breaking the law. But what if he got a ticket for, like, jaywalking?
No. Like, if they charge him...
Yeah.
If the U.S. Attorney's Office decides they want to charge him with a felony, you've got to cut him. You have to.
Well, if you're true to your word, you have to cut him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. I agree with that. I agree. Where do you fall on all this, Kyle? You want to get on this conversation that you called in for?
To be honest with you, man, like, I was just trying to make the point that it sucked not having Mike Edwards.
Yes.
And that I don't really even notice that Antonio Brown's gone.
Yes, agreed.
So, like, I wasn't, like, super upset about it from, like, a political stance. I don't really know or care, but I was just saying, more or less, I guess the summation on that is we're still good without him. Don't panic, because there's been a lot of talk about, oh, no, Antonio Brown's out, but did we notice him
Like, he's been out since, like, week three.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's played, like, two games since week three. Yeah. So I was laughing because somebody said to me this morning, I get a text from somebody and they were like, oh, you know, it really sucks that these guys are going to be out. You know, is this going to, I said, first off, hold on. I said, the Bucs are up three games in the division right now. I said, so the worst that can happen is they're going to come back. Those guys are going to come back and they're going to be tied for the division lead. So I said, just relax on that aspect.
Yeah. The division's over.
So the division is good.
Division's over. We just beat Atlanta for the second time.
Yeah, you're up four games.
You know, Carolina's back. They Cam Newton's back. I don't think the guy's like scored like two touchdowns yet in two games. They just fired their offensive coordinator who was like being, you know, talked about for head coaching jobs 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And doesn't make it a season and a half with the team. Like, you know, so they're a dumpster fire right now. Who's the other? Oh, and the Saints. You know, the Saints have lost, what, five in a row now?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, the division, it's over. Like, it's over. So, now, you know, and Bruce Arians said it, like, during this week. It's like, you know, like, what's the problem? You know, this year, last year, like, what's the biggest obstacle left this year? And it's injuries. It is. And it has been all year long. And I think that even though, you know, we're frustrated about the Washington game, and, you know, especially the way the Rams have sort of panned out after, you know, they won their Super Bowl by beating us. You know, you can look back at the Rams game and go, really, we should have lost that game. But being 9-3 with these rash of injuries in the secondary and then not being able to use, like, your defensive line and your linebackers as the defense is designed to, you're having to have those guys, you know, play a little further off, their first step backwards, to be able to get deeper to help out the back end. 9-3 is really good. And we're one game out of the best record in the league, let alone the best record in the conference. So,
right. Yeah. Well, I'll let some other people call in, but I do want to point out, so far, I'm right on the money on my prediction. I figured at the beginning of the year, I figured we'd be at, what is it, like 17 games, right? So, yeah. What, 13-4 or 14-3?
Which one? You got to pick one, man, especially this late in the year. I mean, I can understand the beginning of the year. I think 13-3, 14-4, like, I mean, you know, there's only five games left.
I'll go with 13-4 only because I feel like since we beat the Falcons today, we're still due for one more stupid loss if possible.
Right.
And that, or one good loss this week. I don't know. I could see us finishing 13-4 for sure.
All right. I think we're going to run the table. Obviously, the
I hope so, but there is a possibility of, you know, we are the Buccaneers. They are the Buccaneers, and they are known for a couple stupid losses. And since we swept the Falcons, maybe the Panthers will sneak one in or something.
I hear what you're saying. I'm just trying to think. I mean, obviously, anyone could. I mean, like, we were lucky to win that Indy game. We really were. Like, they were going down to go up by 2 scores, by 14 right. points, you know, and then Shaq Barrett. And then they were coming back to get it, you know, to take another 7-point lead, and then Winfield. And then it was just kind of ended after that because of the offense. But, yeah. Yeah, I hear you. So I made you pick, and you went with 13-4, and now I'm yelling at you because you have no faith. I'm a hard person to please.
That's right. I went 12-5 to start, Kyle, and I actually am sticking at 12-5 because I think that next week is going to be very difficult unless, you know, the secondary can be sorted out. And I would not be surprised that, you know, that they could end up you could end up just knowing that if your place in the playoffs is sewn up and you can't improve it in week 17 against Carolina, maybe you lose that game too. So,
well, it was good talking to you guys. And I will say one thing before I go is that it's nice that we're bitching about how many losses we might have and it being under 5.
Yeah.
Then all these years here lately could we just get a winning record?
I know. Or, hey, can we just get one guy with 10 sacks? Like, you know, can we just do that? You know? Or, like, we would be really excited about the My Cleats, My Cause. We'd be all over Twitter. Who does this have? Who does that have? Because you can't talk about the game because it was already over. Like, I see mock drafts starting to come out now. And I remember years past, I would have been, like 2 weeks ago, I'd have been like, it's about time. And now, like, I have no time for them whatsoever. I don't even care. I don't even look at them. Like, I don't even know the draft order. You know, Detroit's trying their hardest to screw theirs up. Like, they won a game. Congratulations. You're still the worst team in the league, but, you know.
I don't know. I got upset at Jets fans getting mad at them winning a game the other day over draft picks. I'm like, I'd rather have wins than draft picks.
I would not. And I hear you, man. I mean, I I'm not going to get into a fight with anybody about it. I'm just going to say I'm not with you. And I understand your position, and I respect it. And I somewhat agree with it, but if you gave me a choice of going 4-13 or 5-12, I would take the 4-13 and the, you know, third pick instead of the fifth pick.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, man. I'll let somebody else call in. It's always fun talking to you guys. Go Bucks.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle.
For me, I agree with you, Ren. If you're going to be garbage, you want the picks. You know. If it's the difference between the number 2 pick and the number 4 pick, you want the. Now, if it's the difference between the number 10 pick and the number 15 pick, take the win.
But I
think if you're in that mediocre, you want the win. If you're straight, but if you're hot garbage.
But if you're like, you know, you got like 6-7 wins and you're in the last 4 games of the season, you know. You want the wins because you're trying for a wild card spot. I get that.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. I would not be on the side. Well, you know, okay. Yeah. Well, maybe we make the wild card, but we're not very good. Like, are you going to beat, the Bucks? You're going to, you know, rattle off some teams. And you're like, no. Then why not lose those games and get a bet, you know, and get earlier picks? Well, because that's not the way I feel like it should work. It's not the way it works. Like, you should try to win all the games, even if you're, you know, even though the Jets did win yesterday, it's probably a dumb idea, you know, in the wide scope of it. Like you should try to win every game, because once that starts to go away, then the whole ethicity of the thing starts to crumble. And I want to talk to Dante Holmes there in the chat, and, you know, he's doing a little cringe because, you know, he's here for the Bucks football, not the COVID. And I completely agree, and I get it, no problem. But I still got some stuff to say about COVID, so sorry. Yeah. And this one's really not about COVID. This is about Stroud and his reporting.
Yeah.
Because in the whole, you know, the big picture, you know, is the world going to continue to spin if Rick Stroud didn't find out or didn't report that Antonio Brown and Mike Edwards had fake vaccine cards? And basically his reporting definitely led to those guys getting suspended three games. Is it going to change the world that, you know, let that slide by? Of course it's not. But you can't. But as a journal, okay, our government is set on checks and balances. Journalism is the checks and balances for society. Okay, at least it's supposed to be. Our national journalism is completely failing us, except for a couple of places. Thank God the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times have come back after Trump has left office, and they're starting to do some real reporting now. It's very nice. The Washington Post is doing some good stuff, too. But the journalism is here to keep people in check, to be the watchdog. That's why they're there. That's why the freedom of press is so important. So you cannot begin to start picking and choosing which stories you want to let out and not let out, because you don't get to decide if it's newsworthy, it's not newsworthy. Your editor does. And you can't not report on something because you're their friend. Like, look at this Cuomo complete disaster that's happened between the governor of New York and CNN. If you don't know what that is, go ahead and look at it. Like, so go back and look at it, and that's a complete mess. I mean, lies, scandals, sexual harassment, COVID deaths, like, and it was just blown over, you know, and the media propped up the guy like he was the second coming. They were calling him, like, you know, the real president of the United States during COVID. So stuff like that. Here's my best example I can give you. Katie Couric, who used to be America's sweetheart, just came out with a book. She had an interview with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. If you're not familiar who she is, she was the first female justice on the Supreme Court. She recently just passed away. And in her later years, she did a interview with Katie Couric where it was during the Colin Kaepernick kneel down thing and the whole national anthem kneel down thing. And Katie Couric asked Ruth Bader Ginsburg about that. And she gave a very Trumpian answer. That would, you know, would blow up all the daytime talk shows and Twitter, and you know, Trump would call these names. And I'm no Trump supporter. I'm just trying to give you context of what happened. It was something about she didn't approve of it, didn't appreciate it, didn't think it did anything, somewhere along those lines. But since Ruth Bader Ginsburg was the first female Supreme Court justice, and she was very old, and she was about to retire, which she didn't, she ended up dying with her, you know, on the court. They decided to not put that story out. Now, are you comfortable with them pulling that story? Okay, well, you shouldn't be. Because if their excuse is, well, she didn't really understand the question and she's not as sharp as she used to be, okay, that's fine. She's sitting on the Supreme Court of the United States, which make policy for the entire nation. And after she makes that policy, it becomes almost ironclad. Like, it cannot be overturned unless they do it themselves. You know, the body, not those same judges, because obviously they're not. Yeah. But, you know, later on down the road, do it themselves.
And, that very rarely happens.
Yeah, it very rarely happens. And it's kind of happening now with the Roe versus Wade, but they're not overturning their decision. They're going to possibly give the decision to the states, which would then the states individually can sort of ignore the Roe versus Wade or whatever. But anyway. Mm-hmm. The thing being is, Rick Stroud cannot not report that because it's his job. And once he starts not reporting on things to do favors, or he doesn't think is important, or, oh man, this is getting Antonio Brown in trouble, he might get kicked off the team. That'll lessen the Bucs' chances to win the Super Bowl. I like covering a winning team, so I'm not going to report it. You are no longer a journalist. So I get being mad at him. I get that the story and the whole grand scheme of world global economics means absolutely nothing and no one cares. But ask yourself this. Were you this upset about the reporters that covered Bountygate when the Saints got in trouble and their head coach had to get ejected for the year and their defensive coordinator lost their job? You weren't. You know why? Because it was the Saints. Now it's because it's in your backyard and it's your guys. All of a sudden, now it's unfair. And that's very emotionally immature. I'm not calling you personally immature. It's just wrong. And you know it's wrong. And you're going after somebody on Twitter and calling them names just for doing his job. Rick Shaw doesn't need my protection. But and all that stuff I said before about the COVID things, it's like, I don't understand why people get so upset about people lying about their vaccination card or being vaxxed or not vaxxed, because actually the studies show that, you know, once again, I said, if you're going to catch COVID from someone else, you're actually a slightly more likely to catch it someone who's been vaccinated. Like, they pass it on at a slightly more higher rate than someone who has COVID and unvaccinated and gives it to you. So don't worry about if someone's vaccinated or not vaccinated. It's only your choice. That's it. If you want to be vaccinated, vaccinate. If you don't, you don't. If Mike Edwards wants to go to fake vaccination card to make his life a little easier because the NFL is putting him through the ringer for a personal choice that he's not breaking the law on, then let him do it, because fuck the NFL, because they really shouldn't be able to do that, to be honest with you. I understand that he wants to get vaxxed. And guess what? It doesn't make anyone safer. That's the biggest lie of all. It doesn't make anyone safer.
I'm with you on, if you don't want to get vaccinated, don't get vaccinated. I understand. Sure. I understand that completely. The NFL has the right to do what how they see fit when it comes to their protocols, when it comes to vaccinations or not.
I can understand that as well. Where do you draw the line?
I draw the line at that false, that making up a
maybe fake. Maybe they should wear wristbands or little gold stars on their chest the unvaccinated.
No, I
put into separate camps. Maybe
it's not where I'm going with this, right?
I know you're not, but that's where I'm going with it.
But I am going with, if you lie about it, if you falsify, if you make fake vaccine cards,
right,
that's a felony.
Yep, agreed.
That's my problem. That's the only problem I have with it.
Yep. Like, okay.
You want to be unvaccinated? That's fine. But don't make fake vaccine cards. And this is more about John Franklin than Mike Edwards or Antonio Brown, because obviously, you know, if Brown says he got it from a teammate, or if the report is that Brown got it from a teammate,
right?
Well, that teammate's no longer on the team, but it's somebody that was in the wide receiver room with Antonio Brown. Like, that's my problem is the. You know, law. That's the only thing that I'm upset about. You don't want to be vaccinated, don't be vaccinated. That's fine.
Just don't,
but
break,
don't
the law.
Break the law. You committed a felony doing it.
Yeah, and I think the felon. And personally, I think that's a ridiculous charge. I think selling them should be a felony. I think buying them should be a misdemeanor, because, again, you're not really putting. And look, I'm not trying to. If someone who listens to this and has had someone they know or close to them get COVID and pass away, I am not trying to minimalize this at all. I'm just trying to say that if you're vaccinated, you have no risk. The risk does not change from the person standing in front of you if they're vaccinated or not.
Agreed.
So you shouldn't care about it.
Yeah.
So where's all this this outrage is misplaced. So that's what bothers me. Now, I really don't have a problem with those guys trying to make their life a little easier, because they're really not breaking the law in the first place. And I think that the stringents are too hard, because from the facts that I just talked about 15 seconds ago, because they're not putting anybody in danger. I think that the stringents or the restrictions the NFL puts on the player is way too much. Now, I'm with you. If they did go get these fake cards, which they basically admitted to through the NFL by not putting up a fight about it and took the 3-game suspension, and it is a felony, then they have to pay the piper. I'm not saying the law is unjust and they shouldn't have to pay it, because those are my beliefs. Those are the laws. If you wanted to do the fake vax card, you should have looked up the law, or at least know what the penalty was. And if you're okay with the roll of the dice, and you did, that's fine. You got caught. Now you just gotta do what you gotta do. Like, you gotta pay up.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you on that. You're not gonna get any sort of argument from me on that case. They've done the crime, and now they're doing the time, and they may have to do more time because of it. But that's something that is yet to be determined. And I think we cross that bridge when it comes to it.
Yeah. And I'm kind of okay with. I kind of want to see Antonio Brown stick around, because I sort of fall in this selfish fan that yelling at Stroud and all that kind of stuff. Where it's like, I think he's like, he may be the best. It's, you can have a really good argument, and I think he's at least the most talented wide receiver on our team. And obviously Brady trusts him.
He's the best route runner. He's the best route runner.
Gets off the ball the best.
Yeah.
Probably has the best hands.
Yeah.
The fastest besides Scotty Miller. Of the three, he's the fastest of the three.
Yeah.
I don't know about his, like, Godwin is a contested catch monster. And Mike Evans is a red zone monster. Like, you know, it's hard to beat him on that. But anyway, but the point being, like, I'd rather have him on my team than not. So,
yeah, I agree.
And again, I personally feel that a felony for trying to make your life a little easier. I mean, like, he never, put it this way, in my mind, he never would have gone and got a fake vaccination card if the NFL didn't make you turn one in. He, like, if he had a job at wherever else, and, you know, that job didn't make you get mandatory vaccinated, then he did, like, you know, there's a lot of instances where it did, like, they forced his hand, and he felt his personal freedoms of not getting the vaccination were more important than getting vaccinated and showing you a card. And I get that, and I'm kind of on your side, to be honest, but I don't think it should fall in the zero tolerance policy, and I also don't think that the Buccaneers should be lambasted for not cutting Antonio Brown if it comes around. But I also agree that if the feds want to come and charge Antonio Brown and Mike Edwards and Jonathan Franklin for fake vaccination cards, that they absolutely should.
Yep.
And if I was Antonio Brown, I would fear the most out of the three, because you've done a lot of shitty things in the past, and the U.S. government can score a lot of points by, you know, throwing you, but you are black, so maybe not. Yeah, you don't want to persecute a black man, especially a rich, successful black man. That wouldn't go over well either. That's just global politics Twitter talk right there.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Anyway.
Before we continue on here, and maybe we'll actually talk about the game a little more. I do want
probably
to talk
not.
About, well, I do want to mention our sponsor, because we have not mentioned BetUS at all here in this show. A semi okay week for me. 1-1 so far. I have Buffalo on the Monday night game laying 2.5. I took the under of Jacksonville and Houston and Indianapolis was the one that I took. I was going back and forth. Do I want to take the Rams and the Jags, or do I want to take the Colts and the Texans? I took the Colts and the Texans.
Wise move.
Under 42. That ended up being 31-0. So that's a win. I unfortunately also took the under of 48.5 between the Vikings and the Lions. That ended up being a loss. That was 29-27. The Lions get their first win of the season. So I'm 1-1. Ren, unfortunately, I think you took the Giants.
I took the Giants and the 6.5 because the Eagles weren't starting Hurts. And then I came to find out after the game started that Glennon was playing for the Giants.
Napoleon quarterback.
Yeah. So
could throw a million interceptions. God.
Yeah. I don't know what happened, but I did not. Giants lost by more than 6.5.
Yes, they most certainly did. And so Ren got stuck with the Giants. I look like I'm close to having what might actually be a winning week for once in my life. But you can as well on BetUS.com, and you can do it by getting a little bit of extra scratch in your account as well. If you go to BetUS.com and you sign up using the promo code PewterC125.
Wow. We got props.
We got props today. Pewter with the letter C and the number 125. It gives you a 125% sign-up bonus. So again, go to BetUS.com and you sign up and you use the promo code PewterC125 and you deposit $100. You get $225 in your account to play with and to wager with. The NFL is obviously in full blast. College football, we got the bowl season that is going to get started. The NBA and the NHL are already, their regular seasons are going. You can bet on the UFC. You may have bet on Jose Aldo to win last night in the UFC in Las Vegas. He ended up winning. That would have been a good bet if you had taken it. Or you can bet on Ren's favorite, The ponies. Absolutely. And
they have COVID too, you know.
Yes, they
just
do.
Just kidding. I don't know. Do they? I don't know.
Well, they've got other things. They've got like foot and mouth disease.
Yeah.
So again, go to BetUS.com. The promo code, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm holding it up in my notepad, PewterC125. 125. Pewter with the letter C and the number 125. You bet, you win, you get paid with BetUS.com. All right, so coming up, we've got the Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
This Sunday, a 425 kick at Raymond James Stadium. What do you think, you know, here we are now 7 days, 160 some odd hours away from kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
What do you
think? And ticking.
And ticking. Yes, the clock is running. What do you think?
It's like one of those St. Paddy Day's clock at an Irish bar.
Exactly. So,
It's 216 days to go.
Until St. Patrick's Day. Oh, Six and Magora. If you had to talk about one portion,
mm-hmm.
if I could speak right,
sure.
Of the Bucs game going into that Buffalo Bills game that kind of gives you like a little bit of a question mark, what is it?
I think you nailed it. Like, you know, they throw the ball a lot, and they have very good receivers. Diggs is, you know, one of the best. I think he's even a little bit underrated for sign of nationally how much you hear about him. I think you should hear about Stephon Diggs a lot more, personally. But, yeah, so that would be it. And again, you know, it's back to injuries. Buffalo's defense is very good against the teams like they're supposed to be. Like, Buffalo's defense probably would have looked a lot better against Atlanta. Mm-hmm. But when they play above 500 teams, they've looked pretty awful, you know, pedestrian at best. So they're a very yin and yang team, offensively and defensively. So they beat the crap out of the teams they're supposed to and don't let them score at all. And then they lose to the teams that it's supposed to be a good game. They lose by a lot, and it's not competitive. So, like, are they exactly a 500 team, you know, completely by definition? We win all the games we're supposed to easily, and we lose all the games we're supposed to easily. Like, I don't know. But I'll be watching the Monday night game to sort of get a better feel where they're at now. So, you know, we could have a little more at least to discuss, you know, when we have our guests on Wednesday. But I guess it's going to be a secondary, you know, the injuries, you know, Sean Murphy Bunting went down. Jamel Dean's hurt again, you know, Jesus Christ. Mike Edwards, as we know, I think he did something. What did he do? I think he got a traffic ticket or something.
Yeah. Or he stubbed his toe or he spat in an osprey.
He threatened an osprey with bodily harm. Tweet! Technical foul. Out for two more games. So obviously Mike Edwards isn't going to be there. I think it's probably going to be the topic that dominates sort of, you know, podcasts and the newspaper and sports talk this week is going to be, can the Bucs secondary hold up against Josh Allen and their receivers?
Yeah. And I look at Josh Allen is a much more talented Taylor Heinicke, like with the grit, and he's not afraid to run. So, I mean, you also have to keep an eye on where Josh Allen is, if he's going to pull the football down and take off with it, because, you know, I've seen the Bucs defense have trouble, you know, staying with Taylor Heinicke, having problems staying with Matt Ryan, although Matt Ryan got sacked, what, five or six times.
Yeah.
I look at that as being another issue that you have to account for Matt Ryan from the time the ball is snapped until the time that the referee blows the whistle.
And by Matt Ryan, he means Josh Allen.
Oh, by Josh Allen, yes. Thank you. You have to make sure where Josh Allen is from the
playing
time
Matt
the ball
Ryan
is
on Monday's game will be Josh Allen.
Yeah, so Josh Allen, you have to know where he is on the field from the time the ball is snapped until the time that the referee blows the whistle. And so, and then, like I said, Diggs, Emmanuel Sanders, Knox, their tight end, is a really good pass catcher as well. So I think that the secondary is going to be the biggest question mark for this week and something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. And, you know, when we do our shows here this week, that's something that we're going to have to, you know, keep an eye on and watch how the situation develops. You know, see if Richard Sherman actually practices, if they designate him as, you know, to return, and they can open up that window for him to actually be on the field practicing. You can get him back on the field, and hopefully he can play this weekend against Buffalo. I think that's going to be big. If Richard Sherman goes, I'm going to feel a lot more comfortable.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to feel comfortable, but I will feel more comfortable.
Right. Yeah. I'm with you.
So
I'm with you, man.
But
Bucks win.
Bucks win. The other thing to look at is, you know, for the against the Bills is that, you know, the Bucks and the Bills have a number of teams that they have that they have each played. And you can look, the Bills beat Washington. The Bucks did not. The Bills beat the Dolphins twice badly. The Bucks beat the Dolphins badly once. And, you know, you look at, but then the Bills also lost in Jacksonville, and they lost badly to the Colts at home
the week before.
Yeah, whereas the Bucks went to Indianapolis and beat the snot out of. Oh yeah, and the Bills beat the Saints, and the Saints, of course, won at the Superdome. So lots of stuff to go through here.
Is there?
Yeah.
Should we just call it?
Let's just call it.
Okay.
Let's call it. Bucks win.
Bucks win.
Bucks
total win. Leather. Game's over. All start in for the touchdown. Yeah. Great game. Defense played better than you probably think, at least on the scoreboard. I thought Golson had a great game. Godwin, of course. We've talked about it. Tom Brady was Tom Brady. Gronk did his thing. It was nice to see all the four of the weapons play together in the sandbox today. Mm-hmm. Put up 30. Suckup missed an extra point again, but he only misses them when they really don't count. Don't really care. It's never really an issue. So he continues that streak. But the bad side, 3 weeks in a row, the team that wanted to run the ball has been able to run the ball against this defense. I don't think it will continue next week because Buffalo just doesn't run the ball. But this should be getting a little more attention, especially getting ramped up for the early rounds of the playoffs, because those are very good rosters with very good teams and very good coaches. And if they decide, again, like I said at the beginning, that we're going to run the ball a lot to keep Tom Brady off the field and be able to pick up, you know, first down after first down after first down after first down, 7 yards at a time, I'm not entirely convinced that you can't do that against us anymore, no matter what BA said this week. So,
yeah, that's something else that, you know, probably shouldn't have wanted to see, but whatever. Bulletin board. All right, let's get out of here.
All right. If anybody who listened and was upset about the COVID talk and the Aaron Rodgers talk and the NFL Stroud talk, I completely understand, but I think it had to be said.
Too freaking bad.
Yeah, and it's my show, so don't listen. Fuck off. End of story. Just kidding. Don't fuck off. But I get it if you're not interested here for that type of talk, and I get it. I'm not apologizing for it. When I get to that point, I feel like I just have to talk about it. But if you don't not interested in that talk, again, I'm just saying that, you know, my bad, but not really, because I'm going to talk about it anyway. So
that's right.
Best place to find me is on Twitter, @ThePeterCast. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football or about COVID or Aaron Rodgers, Rick Stroud. You can always find me. You can always DM me something about don't want to put your tweet out there and blah, 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 blah. Love football. Buccaneers go. Rendax, hello. The end.
That's right. And you can get me. I'm @SteveCarney. We've got St. Pete 9. The new series of Under the Orange Roof called Baseball Held Hostage is underway. We've got new episodes every single day. Today we talked about who might benefit from Major League Baseball's lockout. There are guys that may get some extra scratch because they are going to wait until after the lockout in order to sign their free agent deal. So we will talk all about that over there at stpete9.com. Thank you to our sponsor, BetUS.com. Thank you to the Fansided Network for hosting the podcast. If you're watching the show on YouTube, please like, comment, subscribe. If you're listening to the podcast, subscribe on whatever platform you're using. Leave us ratings and reviews. And until next time, which should be on Wednesday, go buck yourself.